You may be seated. I just about didn't make it here tonight. This back and forth business, one day feeling pretty good and the next day feeling pretty bad, is getting a little tiresome. Called Paul this afternoon. Only gave him about 3 hours to get a message ready. And I was so nauseated and dizzy I couldn't even hardly walk across the room. So in about 30 minutes before it's time to be here, this is all cleared up. So here I am. You know, I was praying last night, like I do every night, especially for a message of what to preach on tonight. And then it just all of a sudden it came very easy that prayer is one of my, well, it is my most precious thing that I do. And the one thing that is so very awesome to me and just glorious is the way the Spirit moves. Sometimes when you want to pray, you'll get down on your knees and you'll begin to pray. And you're not feeling an awful lot. You're talking and you're telling Him how you feel and what you desire and what you need, what you want, where you want to go for the people. All of these things. And you don't always feel an awful lot from it. And that gets me really nervous or just discouraged because I live by the touch of God. I have to have His touch. I'm addicted to it. If I haven't shed a lot of tears in my prayer, I really haven't reached through to God what I want, where I want to be. And sometimes even though I may want to do this, just start crying, it just doesn't work that way. You don't just start crying because you want to. You have to reach that point where you're in such a close contact with God that He just simply floods you with that Spirit that just completely transforms you from this world into the next, pretty much. And the tears that come, they're not just little tears that come down your face. I'm talking about the tears are just completely overwhelming you and just sob and so full of glory and love and transformation. And just, I have to have that every time I pray. I don't always get it. It doesn't always happen every time, but I would say at least 2/3 of the time it does. And I pray until I'm so wore out and I can't hardly get back up on my feet because my legs have gone asleep, that I stay until I get what I want. And sometimes I don't know why the tears of the sobs come. And it's not, like I said, it's not just tears. It's sobbing. It's just sobbing. Just trying to tell Him how you feel about Him. How close you want to be, how much you want to be what He wants. Just anything that He wants in your life, just lead me wherever You'll have me go, Lord. Just let me please You. Sometimes I'll be laying in a bed reading a book, usually the Bible about half the time, watching a movie on TV or something. And the thought comes to me, you haven't prayed yet. Just a small thought, just you haven't prayed. Now I have two choices when that happens. long time ago, long, long time ago, because I could never remember to pray. It would usually sometime be the next day before I remembered I didn't pray last night. And why? I just never thought of it. And then that makes me feel about 10 times worse than if I hadn't been touched by his spirit when I did pray. But I asked him one time years ago, Lord, just remind me. Just speak to me and tell me you haven't prayed. You need to pray. Just something. And from that time, I get that touch, that little tiny, still, quiet voice. You haven't prayed yet. And I have two choices. I can either keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to get to it later. Now that you remind me, I'll remember and give me about another half an hour to finish this movie or finish this book or finish the phone call, whatever it is. I can do that, or I can just close everything up, shut it up, and get to the floor and start praying. That's what I do. It's never been to a point to where someone's called me on the phone and I'm talking to them and then I hear that voice and I just hang the phone up and hit the floor. That don't happen. He's real kind in that manner. But that still small voice, he wants you to talk to him often. And our nature isn't like that. We have to be kind of pushed a little bit. Or we'll put it off till a little later when I feel better. I just, isn't it kind of nauseous right now? But I prayed last night. Always some kind of excuse. Satan's there in your ear just whispering all these little excuses to you. But I don't do that anymore. When I hear that small, still voice, I roll out of that bed and hit that floor. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, not always in the bed, but if I'm, well, I used to wash dishes. I got a housekeeper now that does that. But whatever I was doing, when I hear that voice, I stopped right then and started praying. And it's not always convenient. It's not always at an opportune time. It's not always when I really feel like it. So I have all those choices I can make. I either follow what I asked him to do, remind me, and then act on it, or put it off till later. And I tell you this, whenever I answer that call, 90% of the time, when I drop to my knees, before my knees even touch that floor, I am sobbing so hard I can hardly breathe. Not just crying, no. I'm talking about under the power of the Holy Ghost, where it just overwhelms you. And you just, all I can usually say is, oh God, I love you so much. If you just knew how much I love you. I know you know everything, but you couldn't possibly know that. I love you more than I love my next breath. And then sometimes then I start praying for the people. I pray for friends. I pray for relatives. I pray for problems. If you pray for those that have gone out from us. And I pray mostly for you. Mostly for you. All of these times that I pray, the thoughts come to me. Not always, because I'm usually sobbing too loud or too hard. I can barely breathe, catch my breath. And sometimes I wear myself out just by sobbing. And that's so deep in the spirit that I actually feel like I've been translated to another realm, because that's all I think about. It's all I want. It's all I just want closer. And I want him to know beyond any doubt that I withhold nothing from him, nothing. I know I make mistakes at times. I know I mess up at times. I know that, but when I do and I realize it, I make it right. I go to him and on my knees and just, oh God, I'm so sorry. doing that which I know is sin, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't do it. But sometimes you make mistakes. You say things that you shouldn't have. You make a decision that you shouldn't have. It didn't turn out the way it should have. So you go to him, and I want to make sure that when I close my eyes at night, if I happen to open them and I'm where I'm going to be forever, I want it to be right there beside him. I don't want to miss his calling on that day because of some small thing in this life that I've got myself wrapped up in or is disturbing me, or I'm thinking about it all the time, or I want it so bad I let him hang out on the side and waiting for me to decide what I'm going to do. My life is controlled by him, totally. The scripture says in Psalm 56. Starting in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fights daily, oppressing me. This is David. He's been taken prisoner in one of these towns by his enemies. He has a lot of reason to feel bad. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they rest my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity and thine anger? Cast them down in the people of God. Thou tellest my wanderings, but thou my tears unto that. But thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word, in the Lord, and I will praise his word forever. In God I put my trust, and I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, and I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. And will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The one particular portion of this scripture that I'm dwelling on mostly tonight is where he says, thou tellest my wanderings, but put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Apparently, as we've studied over the years way back, about God has a book that he puts everything that we do and all the actions of our life in that book, whether they be good or bad. Sometimes a book with our names in it, sometimes someone has the name erased from it because they're not walking according to his word. Does he have a bottle that he puts our tears in? I don't know. This is the expression David used. But I do know the scripture says that he takes our tears and pours them back upon us in blessings. I can tell you that when you're praying and you get in touch with God, if you're not crying, weeping, blubbering, you might say, bawling, some people call it, then you really haven't reached the depths in God that you want or that you can have. And determination is what brings that about, that you're going to pray when you think of it, and you're going to pray until you feel what you really want from him. And sometimes when you just start, he floods you with his spirit. He just completely enfolds you. You may start talking in tongues. You may start crying. Mostly you will. I don't know how a person can really pray in the spirit without weeping. It seems like it's leaving a lot out. For me, it would be. I would not be able to stop praying if I couldn't feel that soul wrenching weeping before him, crying, bawling. I call it bawling because it's completely uncontrolled. And it's supernatural, and you have no doubt of who it's from. The Philistines had captured David about this time. That's why he's talking, using this particular scripture, this psalm that he wrote. And if God has a bottle, I don't know. I know that he puts our tears away, and then he does pour them back up on us in blessing. So if you really want a real blessing in God, you really want strength for the fight that we have to encounter a lot of times in this life, then pray until you have those tears of weeping and of sobbing. Because they're not coming from you. And no one will have to tell you that when that happens. It'll also make you want to go there more often because of the glory and the excitement, the peace, the joy, the ultimate of meeting with God is so awesome that you can't imagine not going there as many times as you can. In Exodus, the third chapter, starting verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large one, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. That's when the people finally reached God. How long did it take them to reach a point to where they were really, really crying out to him with all of their heart? When that happens, God moves. When you really put your heart and soul into your prayer, God is going to move through you, on you, and for you. You can believe that, saints. He loves your prayer. He loves talking with you. He loves communicating with you. And sometimes because of his love for you is so great, and he loves that communication. He loves it so much that he'll bless you at times to where you can only just barely get your breath between the sobs of joy and expectation and utter exuberance that you can't feel just by getting down or kneeling someplace and saying a few words, even if you talk a long time. But if you don't get into the spirit of it, if you don't really want his visitation with all of your soul, then you'll never feel it, at least not very often. You want to grow and you want to become powerful in God. Then prayer is your way and your doorway to go through to do that. And it's not just repeating a prayer that you've heard somewhere or just talking. It is a soul-wrenching, gut-throbbing, tear-jerking, bawling in prayer. And when you do that, you'll be transformed during that time. You will not want to come back because you're no longer on this planet. Your body may be, but you're not. That sounds almost too unbelievable to even say, but it is absolutely true. When you break through into his realm through your prayer, you are in for an experience you will never forget. And it's something that you'll want every time that you think about it. But Satan's always there. Well, you could do it later. You got this to do and that to do, and those to see and this to have. You can pray anytime. You can talk anytime. You can't always pray anytime. If you put off any time that God's trying to reach you, and whenever you think of praying, that is not you that thought that. That's that small, still voice asking for a relationship or a communion with you. He's a very tender-hearted man, very tender-hearted God, very tender-hearted Savior, a loving God, a loving, beyond our ability to even really comprehend how he feels about us. When you get down to pray, ask yourself, how can you convince him, if you want to, that he means more to you than anything in the world? He's the most important thing in your life. How do you convince him of that? By a total submission, a crying out, a reaching for, you have to have the communication before you stop your prayer. And sometime you'll be tested to see if you will persevere. It's easy to kneel. Sometimes you don't feel like kneeling. Sometimes you just lay in the bed and talk to him. Sometimes you're driving the car and you're talking to him. I wouldn't encourage you to really get in the spirit while you're behind the wheel. It's just either just pull over someplace, which a lot of you have done in times past. But anytime you get that thought to pray, that is him asking for communication, visitation. You don't get a loud, booming voice and a great jerk of the spirit. You get that small, still voice. You haven't prayed. Are you going to pray? When are you going to pray? Will you pray? We know it's not Satan, and we know it's not us because we got our mind on something else. So it has to be him. If you will answer that call immediately, as soon as you possibly can, sometimes you can't just drop to the floor and start praying or the ground or the highway or whatever. You have to find a place where you can kneel, lay, whatever, however you pray. Find a place as quickly as you can and communicate. You will never, ever be sorry for that. Never, ever be sorry for it. We often wonder why we have so many afflictions in our life. We, being called of God and becoming his saints, Satan is in this world to destroy and take as many souls into perdition as he can. And God allows him to do certain things in our life. Sometimes we wonder, why this or why that or whatever. But you have these things even without God. There were ones in the world that don't even want to think about God, have no thought about him, go through the same thing. But they don't have the hope that we have. They don't have that promise of eternal life in a place that we can't even imagine in this world. So why he chose persecution, pain, disappointment? It brings us to a place to where we have enough faith in him to know that whatever we're going through is by his will and that it is for our good because it brings us on into perfection. The job that we are being trained to do for all eternity. Think about what you're going to be when you're caught up in the air. You're going to be called as kings, kings, much more so than the kings down here, and priests, which are those administrators to God and whatever he wants you done at the time. Rulers over worlds, worlds yet to come. Take a look in the sky sometime. It's all those dots you see, up little shiny dots. Some of those little tiny flickering things, we think, well, that's a star up there. No, it's not. It's probably about a million stars and universes all conglomerated in one shot so that it looks like it's just one little dot. If you can see what it really is like out in the universe, it's mind-boggling. And worlds yet to come, who's going to populate those worlds? How many will you be king or priest over? How many people, his people, will you be governing in that time? And you have to have the perfect mind of God at that time to be able to do the work that he'll set you into doing. And you learn a lot of that through the persecutions and the tribulation and the pain and suffering that you have to go through here. You're proven. You're tempered. Through these persecutions, through these plagues, you get these trials, these disappointments, pain and suffering, all of these things brings forth you and your faith in God like it's better than pure gold. It's the most important thing you can possibly possess. That no matter what happens in your life, you trust God for it because you know you've done nothing to displease him. You've done nothing that you know that his word says don't do. You walk as close to him as you possibly have the ability to do so. So don't let Satan get in there and tell you you're a failure, you've messed up this, you're not going to get that, you probably won't make it anyway. Get those thoughts out of your mind. Tell him, get behind you, Satan, and rebuke you in Jesus' name. You're being trained in this life to be something that this world has never even thought about. Even we haven't thought about it. We can't even imagine. It's never entered into the heart of a human being, the things that God has laid up for those that love him. I've got a vivid imagination. And I have some real weird thoughts at times. Well, maybe not so weird, but really wild, you might say. And as wild as my imagination is, I can't even come close to even imagining what it must be like in God's kingdom, where we're going to rule and reign one of these days, very soon. You have a lot less time to wait for that than you did from this point back, and you've been in God most all of your lives now. You don't have that much more time to do. If you haven't read most of those prophecies, go back to them and read them again. He's told us so many times in there how close it is, sooner than you think. Almost up on you. The door's almost closed. In the moment that we least expect it, you're going to be sailing through the air like a Roman candle. But just get out of my way because I'm coming through. I've been waiting for this for a long, long time. And yes, if there's anything I can do to encourage you to get what you want from God, to get your life to where it is so much more satisfying, so much more pleasant, so much more assuring, then it comes in your prayer. That's your connection with God. And the more you put it off, the less that connection is. If you want really to be blessed, you want to really feel that power of being able to pray and reach God whenever you want and know that whatever you're asking for is going to be granted. And you just want to feel his spirit. Then answer the call the moment you hear it. And you will hear it. You will hear it. And if you're a little dense and you don't hear too good, or you keep telling yourself, well, that's not God, they do it, I just don't. No, it's God. Why would you think it? And Satan sure don't want you praying, so that only leaves one more. But prayer takes effort. It takes dedication and determination. Turn over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Starting in verse 17. It's God's people's lot in this world to be persecuted, to be hated, to be made fun of, to be rebuked, to be picked on, to be discriminated against. We're weird to the world. We're as different and as unbelieving to the world as the world is to us. And the day will come before too much longer than you will be what is referred to as the rebels, the troublemakers, the ones that this world doesn't need anymore. Even right now, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing more of God in any reference to him whatsoever from public places. They're raising things up that God says is abomination, and putting them and making them holy and righteous and the good thing and the right thing, and you're the ones that's out of step with the rest of the world because you try to live according to that old-fashioned book called the Bible. And time goes by, it's going to become more and more rejected, unpopular. I don't know if this is true or not. I've heard the tale of the story. I didn't read it, I heard it, and I'm not sure where, but it sounds about right. That they're thinking about rewriting the Bible. Rewriting it and removing all the things that point out what God doesn't like. Some of the things where he says that they that do these things are worthy of death and so forth. Well, that's a little harsh. We won't change that out because God loves everybody. So that's really wrong writing. We have to remove that. I thought it was a real weird thing when I heard it. I don't know if I remember if I heard it or read it. I'm just not sure. It was quite a while back. But it sounds about right. Because the Bible is going to be a very unpopular book one of these days. And you are going to be very, very unpopular. So we need to make sure that our prayer life, our connection with God is everything that we want it to be, and even more so everything he wants it to be. If you have problems you can't work out, if you've got disappointments that you wish you didn't have, it just seems too much for you, things are going wrong, they're just... Prayer is your answer. You may not always get everything taken away that's bothering you. You may not get everything you ask for, but the one thing you will get is satisfaction and the spirit to carry you through any problem that you're having in your life. But without prayer, you're just a wild flag flying in the wind, going nowhere. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. This is the last days. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you should say. because it's not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father, the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. This is not some foreign country, a foreign people that's already gone, died, but they're not here anymore. He's referring to the end time generation, which we are. We're in the very last days. It's almost, it's over sooner than we even think about it. But one of these days you can believe it, just as sure as the sun rises every morning in the east, that it's going to happen. That trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be off of this planet where we want to go and been waiting for such a long time. But if you let your prayer slip, you miss your communication with God, then you become cold-natured, half-hearted, disappointed, unfaithful, all types of things that can interfere with not only your living here, but your connection with God. Pray until you feel the Spirit so strong that tears come like rivers to your eyes. And it will happen. You'll be sobbing so hard you can barely breathe and you don't want to stop. You don't know what to say because it's overwhelming. And all you can do is just murmur and blubber and bawl. And it's glorious. It is absolutely glorious. I really feel like I haven't really prayed. I really haven't reached where I want to go until I cross that line. I don't get it every single time. But it's enough that makes me hungry for more. And I'll never quit seeking for it. And answering that call, yes, it would be real easy for me to hear that. You haven't prayed. Are you going to pray? Have you prayed today? Just some small, just tiny little voice, just a thought. And it's what I do with it that makes the difference. I prayed yesterday. I'm good enough. Well, I'll pray later when I feel better. But it's not going to be the same when you do. Answer the call immediately. But that's him. I'm here. Answer it. You'll never regret it. But you will be hated of all men because of me and your faithfulness to me, him. You're sold out to him, your love of him. I thought one time when I heard that, I've mentioned this to you all so many times, and I've read that one particular portion of that Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy mind, all of thy soul, and all of thy strength. And how in the world am I going to love something I don't even know what it is? I don't know what it looks like. How? I mean, I barely love some of my family that much. But more than mom and dad, more than your husband, your wife, more than your children. I mean, how? That's not possible. To love somebody that you don't even know, you never met, yet know nothing about them. To me, that was an impossibility, and it cost me my soul because I couldn't do that. It wasn't possible to love something that I knew nothing about more than I loved my blood relative. I thought. Loving God is the easiest thing that. And all that does is just multiply your love for others. I don't ever want him to come to me and say those words that he said to us one time. And this, I've mentioned this also to you many times, that one of the prophecies he gave is just branded into my brain, where I love you so much and I come to you many times, and it does break my heart that I, the love and the mercy and the worship that you gave me before, I don't feel it now. And it does break my heart that you don't love me more. When I read that, every time I read that, I break down. I break down. I just, God, that's not me, Lord. That's not me. That is not the way I feel. You are my life, and I want to prove it every single day. And I am so inadequate in doing that, but I do the very best I can. We read the story about Paul the Apostle. Yes, that man, he was a cruel man. He put a lot of God's people, had them put to death. And they were afraid of him and thought he was a real evil man, but he really wasn't. He thought he was doing God service. He thought he was right. He thought these Christians were pagans, just trying to take away what was rightfully God's. And to him, they just need to be destroyed. They're just a disease that need to be wiped out. And he was pretty good at that. He was on his road to Damascus to turn in a bunch of those Christians, probably to have them put in the arena, wild animals and stuff. When God touched him, struck him down on that road, blinded him, told him to go into Jerusalem and seek for that one prophet, and he'd tell you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. What great things you must suffer for my name's sake. Why do we have to suffer? Why did Paul have to suffer? Why didn't God say, well, I forgive you, and you did it out of ignorance. You thought you were serving me, and I'll clean it. Now you're all clean, and now you won't have any more problems. Why did he tell him what great things that you must suffer? And why has it been all down through time since the Christianity began that Christians have had to suffer? We all suffer. Maybe not near as much as they did back in those days, or maybe not near as much as they will in the future. But we all have disappointments and heartache and sickness and misery and tears and disappointment. We all have that stuff. But it makes you more of what God can use when you become those kings and priests over those worlds. Do any of you think you're qualified? 20 years ago, when you first got the Holy Ghost, to do any of that stuff? You ever wonder anymore why the Lord hasn't spoken to us again through prophecy? He still does it. He still can do it. He stopped it. Why did he stop? Because we sin, because we disappointed him, because he's upset with us? Absolutely not. We were on the highest pinnacle of our relationship with God when that stopped. So why did it stop? Because you, mostly all of you, are grown. You have been taught everything that he can teach you. You have more knowledge, more ability, more concept of his word and what he desires and what must be for his people than any people on this planet. If I say that outside these doors, it's just going to be real unpopular. But truth is truth. We have his word to tell us that over and over again. So now it's time to use what he's given us. I took one of those out of the book here the other day, and I know I keep harping on this. It's it's a part of my blood, I guess. He said, the things that I've taught you and raised you up to become was for the purpose for you to go into the world and tell your mothers and your fathers and your friends and your relatives about this great salvation that you have received. That's our commission. That's it. He's trained us for everything else. You are ready to do the work that he has called each one of us to do when the time comes. But we, if we just try to stay where we are now, you know, we've got it, we've been blessed, we have this, we know that, so forth, so now we just sit and take our ease. You won't have it very long. You won't have it long. You have to use it, practice it. That's one of the things that communion is such a soul-saving ritual that we perform. Without it, none of us would make it. None of us would make it. That's why it's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be thought of as immaterial. It is something that will save your soul. When you commit a sin and you are stricken with grief and remorse and fear and you want so badly God's forgiveness, the only way you can get that and be clean is the way day you were baptized is through communion. And once you take that, you're as clean as you were when you came up out of that water full of the Holy Spirit. But if someone takes it casually and they just, well, I didn't do that, is a very dangerous place. Very dangerous. One of the greatest gifts he gave us outside of our born-again experience is communion. But we're not to use that just every time we turn around because we just keep transgressing his laws. You have the power to walk as holy as Jesus Christ did. You have that same power. And if you don't, it's because you choose not to. You want to go that way. That's not near so predominant now. But there's still a few that are walking a real tight rope. As I said, I am so overwhelmed and blessed by the tears that I can shed in my prayer that I want everybody here to experience it. A lot of you already do. I've seen you pray. I've watched. But not everybody. Some don't get satisfied. You can have as much or as little as you're willing to work for. But don't be one of those that when he comes to commune with you and to fellowship with his children, that he doesn't feel that love that we once had for him. And it breaks his heart because we don't love him as much as we did. I pray to God that does not ever happen here again. This was several years ago that he told us that. And I pray that that has not happened again or that it ever will. Because what do we have except Christ? What do we have that's worth anything except him? Everything else can just rot away. Not going to last. It can't do anything for us. Living our life in him 100% and communicating with him often. It's not an easy thing to be chastised by the Lord, but sometimes it's necessary, just like it is with your children. King David sets an example for us because he shed a lot of tears in his lifetime. He was a praying man. These psalms that he wrote, they're not even dropping a bucket to the ones that he wrote. You couldn't get them all in a book this size, or 100 books this size. He was one that was sold out to God. Yes, he made a terrible mistake one time, but his love for God was never ending and unbounding. And look what his place is in glory now with God. And we're flesh and blood just like he was. We can get out of our relationship with God what we want to put into it. And it always does not come easy. The more you want and the greater the reward, the more difficult it is to attain. But it's not an impossibility. Your desires will determine your walk with Christ, how close you walk to him. And that will begin when you hear that little thought. Haven't prayed. Are you going to pray? How about praying? Just almost unintelligible. Just, what was that? You'll know what it is. Will you stand with me?